Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
How powerful big data can be. On February 2010, The Economist published an issue with the cover title The Data Deluge to confirm that data revolution was just starting the transformation of business, government and society. Databases come in different types, format, structure and size. Look back when organizations and big corporations were effective in producing enormous piles of data, but struggled to transform the information into solutions because they simply did not know what to do with it. This is when the data scientist era started. Careers in data science have skyrocketed since then and is one of the fastest growing new professions in the market. Professionals with the ability to give value to collected data through analysis and statistics are clearly on demand. However, will big data analysis increase our knowledge and understanding of behavior in disaster situations? Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More podcast. My name is Rossella Biaggi and I will be your host for today. In today's show, we will talk about the misconception of data scientists, big data and machine learning to support disaster management.
Hello, everybody around the world. We're excited to be back after a little break, which was needed to spark creativity. I look forward to share with you new topics, ideas and personal opinions in the upcoming shows.
Sounds good. Can you share with us what did you learn during the summer holidays?
Well, all kinds of topics. Going from technology and innovation to European Union projects, but two in particular caught my attention. The first one is about data scientists.
I got an idea!
According to IBM researchers, a data scientist represents an evolution from the business or data analyst. Have a strong foundation in computer science and applications, modeling, statistics, analytics and math, have the skills to communicate findings with business and IT leaders, and can find solutions that matter the most to the organization. Let me break this down for you. The main role of data analyst is basically to collect data from different departments in an organization, analyze it, and answer to given questions. That's the key word, given questions. While data scientists formulate their own scenarios and highlight the outcomes of addressing each option.
So, data scientists create hypotheses based on the available data to achieve a particular goal, is that right?
Exactly. And this is done using statistical mathematical models, machine learning, and advanced programming. This is followed by an evaluation process of the model effectiveness. Is the approach correct? Did I select the correct variables? What do the results mean? And last but not least, communicate the findings using powerful visualization tools like business stories, interactive dashboards, or maps to show all possible outcomes from an overall perspective, instead of written reports that only include the analysis of one particular question. Don't get me wrong, I mean, both professions are highly valuable. In fact, they might work together to achieve common goals, but the truth is that data scientists are the upgraded version, the evolution of traditional data analysts.
In few words, you are saying that data scientists are a hybrid of data engineers, analysts, computer programmers, statisticians, and a touch of business?
I think you're right. Let's not forget that those professions are on the rise. So it doesn't matter your field of expertise. I believe it's a good idea to incorporate some of this knowledge to your personal career.
You know, the other day I was surprised that even journalists are learning this set of skills. Nowadays I've noticed many MOOCs, webinars and information about data science in the web. This is definitely not my job.
But in any case, if you're interested in the topic, you should have a look at the specialization course offered by Johns Hopkins University at Coursera. The course covers all the basics of data science from main tools to developing the final product.
What are the career prospects of data scientists?
We have Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Visa, to mention a few. For instance, insurance companies like AXA or Swiss Re are developing premium packages using satellite and historical data to define thresholds depending on the chosen parameter. Let's do a quick example. Today, Rosella, you are now the Prime Minister of Italy, and you have 10 million euros to spend on disaster preparedness and contingency response for the year 2018.
Sounds good, okay.
And I am the sales representative of an insurance company.
Okay, let's start.
Madam President, I'm aware that your country is prone to wildfires, droughts, floods, landslides and earthquakes, causing billions of euros of damage and people falling into poverty. Therefore, we have come with a project portfolio to save your country from these type of disasters.
Okay.
For the little investment of 4 million euros, you can cover one type of disaster for the full year and receive up to 3.5 times in compensation if they even reach the threshold calculated for that particular disaster. Will you be interested in purchasing an insurance?
Oh yes, I would like to pay for flooding and earthquake insurance.
Okay, so on 2019 was one of the lowest in terms of disasters. No major earthquakes nor flooding registered. You received criticism from your cabinet and you feel that you could have used the money for something else. Will you invest the money again for 2020, Rosella?
Well, I'm not sure, maybe just for earthquakes.
Okay, now, on 2020, floods and landslides devastate the center of Italy, clearly exceeding the thresholds. If you had invested that money, you could have paid on the reconstruction works and post-adaptation measures without going to the World Bank. Now you are in big trouble and likely to lose the next elections. However, what will have happened if you have guessed right on both predictions? You will have enough money to build back better, to recover in a shorter amount of time, and likely to be re-elected.
Now I understand. The system is based on probability. It might happen or not, but once the event crosses the limit, the payout happens immediately.
That is correct. This is an adapted example of the forecast-based financing for early action approach, explained by Paulo Suarez during a board game session at the Global Platform in Mexico last year.
I'm sure it was a great experience. Now it's time to go listen to My Voice 120. We will be back very soon in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More.
Hi, I'm Lisa Verschuren, Dutch, and I am a water management student at TU Delft. The topic of my thesis is sociohydrology, which studies the interactions between humans and water systems, in particular human floodplain interactions. Sociohydrology is built on the idea that traditional hydrology has ignored the human factor for too long. As flood impacts and risks are estimated to be caused by humans for 80%, the human factor isn't something to ignore when studying flood risks and impacts, especially with more than half of the world's population living in cities, which are often situated in floodplains. The number of people living in floodplains is growing, exposing more and more people to flood risks. To deal with floods, originally protection measures like levees were developed, which makes the frequency of flood events decrease. But when floods occur, the impact is higher. This gives people a false feeling of safety, increasing urbanization in flood areas. This in turn decreases again after a flood event, together with the heightening of the levees, starting this cycle all over again. This is called the levee effect and shows that technical solutions are not always the best solution to prevent flood events. Though the levee effect was studied thoroughly, this is only one example of a socio-hydrological mechanism in floodplains. The understanding of the dynamics between humans and water systems is still insufficient. As a result, unintended consequences can stem from current policies and measurements to mitigate flood impacts. Of course, complete elimination of floods is impossible, but management solutions in river floodplains may make significant contributions to flood mitigation when backed up by socio-hydrological research. For more information, you can contact lisaverschuren@gmail.com. That is LISAVERSCHUREN. And remember, Active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. In your opinion, how much do we need to understand the dynamics between humans and water systems to mitigate floods?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think a clear example of climate change adaptation is the Netherlands. They don't fight the water, instead they learn to live with it. It's all about integrating nature-based solutions with the right structural measures with the right decision-making. For more information about this topic, have a look at the United Nations World Water Development Report of this year.
During the break, our friend Nicola Palumbo asked me if data scientists are capable to distinguish trash data.
Depends on the questions and context. Big data needs to be explored and examined to find hidden patterns. As I mentioned earlier, data scientists have to apply mathematical methods, machine learning, and statistical analysis using programming languages, you know, such as R or Python, for evaluation purposes. There is no doubt that lots of data cannot be used, but some are useful.
Can you tell us more about machine learning?
Sure. Machine learning is the science that studies the ability of systems, such as computers, robots, or software, that learn in an automatic way from algorithms using data. In other words, they become intelligent from experience. Arthur Samuel conducted the first experiment back in 1959 using a checkboard program. After running thousands and thousands of tests, the program eventually learned how to play better than Samuel. Just think what machine learning can do for humanity to support disaster risk management, make better predictions of hurricane paths, location of damages, earthquakes, droughts, floods, wildfires, based on historical data. University labs, scholars, and international organizations are producing research publications and investing a lot of money in order to find innovative ways to achieve resilience.
In today's show, we talked about the importance of data scientists and machine learning for disaster risk reduction. Stay tuned for our next show, Everything You Need to Know About the European Innovation Project Horizon 2020.
Guys, all the information and reference used for the show will be available in the website. Let us know if you would like to participate in the show or learn more about a particular topic. Don't forget to visit our website and social media platforms as WireDoc or Francisco Febronio Peña. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Febronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.